Hello and welcome to a Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care CME podcast interview. My name is Guy Melrose. Anyone who works in urgent care will be familiar with the moon boot, sometimes called the fracture walking brace or fracture walking boot. But whilst they are an important treatment option for us, do you consider the potential harm they can do? So this month, we talk with Mr. Peter Black, a consultant orthopaedic surgeon in Hamilton, New Zealand. Okay, so I'd like to welcome to the official podcast of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care, Mr. Peter Black, who is an orthopaedic consultant based in Hamilton, who specialises in lower limb orthopaedic surgery. And we got in contact with Peter through a mutual friend of the podcast, Lisa Hansen, who he'd been chatting to about the use of moon boots in ankle and foot injuries. And so, given that physiotherapy and urgent care clinics use moon boots with increasing amounts these days, we figured having a chat to Peter about moon boots, when they should be used and when they shouldn't, and what problems they can cause was a good idea, and he kindly agreed. So thank you very much, Peter, for talking to us. And if we start with the complications of a moon boot use, so what are the things that you're seeing in your practice that are directly related to people misusing moon boots?
Okay, so I have patients who are referred to see me frequently when they have injured, particularly around their foot or ankle, and are put into an immobilizing device, such as a moon boot, which immobilizes the ankle and foot, without much in the way of advice about how to use the device. Often that means that by the time they come to see me, they've been immobilized for anything up to 6 weeks, which means that they are stiff. One of our founding orthopedic mantras is that movement is life, and being able to function requires movement and range of movement. And to immobilize somebody for that period of time will inevitably lead to stiffness. And stiffness is something that we as surgeons have very little ammunition to combat. That of itself as well causes pain and swelling because of lack of function and an inability to clear the vascular supply to the foot and ankle. And the fear is that swelling is associated with injury. However, it's often associated with immobility and loss of function. So one of the biggest issues that I have is convincing patients once they become stiff that they need to start moving because it's painful and swollen. So stiffness is the big thing that I fear when I see people in moon boots. And therefore, the big issue from my perspective as a surgeon is that whilst the use of a moon boot as a temporary device with good advice on how to use it is not wrong, it's the idea that you can provide a moon boot for somebody, which is not a benign device and has side effects associated the same way that any medicine might do, and not then follow them through with making sure that they're using it correctly. I have patients who sleep in moon boots and who don't take them off at all. So by 6 weeks, that limb is useless. And that's not something that as a surgeon that I can combat easily. And to remember there as well that specialist appointments, whilst we try to see people as expeditiously as possible, will inevitably engender some delay. And that intervening gap has to be monitored.
So from an urgent care point of view, we enjoy using moon boots for a number of reasons. They are easy to apply for nursing staff. Patients seem to feel very secure in them initially, and they give people a bit of feeling of support, both from the clinician point of view, that you're making the ankle safe whilst you may be not clear on the diagnosis. If the injury is unclear, if it's somebody's non-weight-bearing on a big swollen ankle with x-rays that look okay, it kind of gives us a little bit of a safety net. And I guess that's why we tend to use them. What you're saying is it's not in itself initially the wrong treatment. It's when it becomes a long-term, when people end up in using it inappropriately for 6 weeks.
Quite. And, you know. I mean, we're all familiar with the rest, ice, compression, elevation mantra as well, which I think works well, but it has to be time limited. And if you just supply somebody with a moon boot and a referral letter, then you're not looking after that person in the same way that you wouldn't do, for example, if you prescribed a medication and didn't see them afterwards to make sure that it hadn't caused a side effect. So the thing about immobilization is that it has to be provided with a view to the next step. If you're uncertain about the diagnosis, then you should be reviewing them within a week to 10 days. And if the diagnosis is then still unclear, then you should feel that you have, at that point, recourse to further investigations and certainly referrals to somebody who can take it to the next level. Because just leaving somebody immobilized in a boot without review will leave them very stiff. The biggest irony sometimes that I see are patients who are not treated initially in a moon boot. They will continue to be swollen for a fairly predictable period of time, but with rest, some ice, compression, early movement and restoration of function, that they will continue to improve. However, they may have a niggle which doesn't go away and they will return, and then they will be immobilized for 6 weeks in a moon boot after a period of 6 weeks, which is like shutting the stable door after the horse is bolted. And that is not something that I see infrequently. It doesn't happen all the time, but it is certainly something that doesn't make a lot of sense to us as surgeons, because we're trying to establish or reestablish function. And function starts always with movement. And movement is that important component which after, it's the holy grail. It's what patients seek, because that will give them relative normality. Stability will come after that. And then you'll be looking at restoring strength and activities. But swelling is normal after an accident. Pain is normal after an accident. And so icing it, using pain relief on a regular basis, and not just immobilizing it, are sensible adjuncts to therapy. Using compression bandages such as tubi grips and allowing icing, or for the ankle to use ankle bracing, is a much better option after a week or so. But remember that if you do prescribe somebody a moon boot, that they should be looking to take it off in bed at night, and advising that it is going to be uncomfortable for a while, but that's not abnormal. And within a week, obviously, if there are changes on an x-ray at review, then you need to take it to the next level. And that's what surgeons are there for, to provide that support, but not everybody needs to see one of us.
So in terms of the two different things that we'll be seeing, fractures and sprains are the two different sides of the coin here. With regards to sprains, is a moon boot overkill in most sprains, if we say ankle sprains, or you just described the tubi grip and the ankle bracing. Is a tubi grip, ankle brace, and maybe temporary use of crutches better in most sprains? Is that a better way for us to be starting the journey?
Personally, I think so. I mean, but then I was brought up on that, and most of us were able to look after patients with that treatment protocol. Moon boots are a relatively new departure from that, and certainly before I came to New Zealand, it was not something that I saw very often, and we used it as a post-surgical, post-casting form of step-down management. They've become useful, and they are a very, I almost hate to use the term, sloppy way of managing patients. It's easy, like you said, but that doesn't make it the right thing to do. And just because it's easy doesn't make it right. And sometimes it's better to do something which is harder, takes a little bit more time and maybe a little bit more input, but ultimately gets a much better result as a consequence for the patient. And stiffness is a disaster. It is an absolute disaster for a lot of these people, and it can't be recovered. And for if it happens to one patient because somebody hasn't looked after them properly, then it happens to one patient too many. And it really is awful for that person because it will change their life. So I think that it's very hard to grade a sprain when you initially see a patient. And for people who have got more significant injuries, who may have a tendinous component to that, then clearly they're going to need further investigation, but you're not going to know that initially. The alternative is to cast them for a week and then brace them afterwards. And that's another option. The thing is that you would never put a cast on a patient and just let them go. And that way you're almost forced to have to review them and to then follow them through with the next level and the next step. But you don't have to do that with moon boots. It's a little bit like the analogy between warfarin and Pradaxa for anticoagulation. We can give somebody Pradaxa and never have to bother about them again in terms of monitoring them. But with warfarin, you have to monitor them all the time, so it's labor intensive. And in the same way that using a cast, physio, bracing, compression, or cryotherapy is labor intensive, but ultimately may get a better result than just sticking them in a boot and leaving them and then referring them to the next person and hope that they can get to them quickly enough to be able to get their function back.
So a person with a significant sprain, non-weight bearing, concern about kind of syndesmotic injury, bimalleolar pain and normal x-rays, a cast and review and then bracing will be a better model than the moon boot.
For most people, Guy, we can fix some of the bad stuff. It sounds, I'm not trying to sound like a hero here, but for most of this stuff, if you miss it a bit, even with fractures, we can still try and sort those out. Stiffness, you can't come back from.
So for most sprains, we should. It's reasonable to consider crutches. They don't have to weight bear on it immediately, but as long as they can move it passively.
Absolutely, an early movement is great. I know that there's a fear as well with the swelling and with the rise in the diagnosis of complex regional pain syndromes. But again, I wouldn't really want to see most people immobilized beyond about a week without them having further imaging and input. And if you can do that at that level, and then for most people, a simple ankle brace would suffice, or some chibi grip with the advice to ice it and to get it moving. The only issue that the caveat to that is that the moon boot is an all-in-one device. So it's the immobilization and the ability to walk around at the same time, whereas a brace is at least a two-part component where you have the brace and then you have to try and find footwear that fits. And most people don't have footwear that will fit over one of these braces, so a lower profile brace would be a better option, and there are certainly those available on the market. But when you start to move the ankle and advise them that patients that it's not a disaster to have a bit of swelling, to have a bit of pain, and that you'll continue to see them, and you'll continue to see them with imaging if required or a referral pathway, that you know that they'll then start to get more confident and they won't fear the swelling so much. They won't fear the pain so much because they know that it's part of that injury. Pathway that they're going to have after spraining an ankle at rugby or walking along a footpath.
And with respect to ankle and foot fractures, which of those would be amenable to a moon boot versus casting? Are there any the sorts of fractures we often see, maybe the avulsion type proximal fifth metatarsal fractures maybe, or Weber A ankle fractures?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually. I think that you would do that. I think that you would probably immobilize somebody in a boot with a stable ankle fracture, and you might do that for a couple of weeks, or even cast them for a couple of weeks and then moon boot them for a couple of weeks with a plan though to take the boot off and move the limb. I also have a strong, I was going to say plan, but I have a strong desire to see movement following fracture fixation as well. And there is certainly good evidence to support restoration of movement after ankle fixation, where a fracture has been unstable initially. And the idea, the concept about doing an open reduction and internal fixation of an ankle, for example, is that you can allow early movement. You've taken a normal situation, which is a fracture, and it happens to lots of people. You've made it abnormal by performing a surgical procedure on it, and that surgical procedure has to have benefit over treating it non-surgically, both anatomical alignment but also stability. And that early stability should also be associated with a restoration of early range of movement, because we know that function recovers much better and stiffness is also less likely to happen. So I don't believe that this is just about people who work in urgent care and the general practitioners and the physiotherapists that may be listening to this, but it should also be thought of during fracture clinics that we should be moving people more rapidly and early, and there's certainly lots of evidence to support that. And a well-fixed ankle fracture you should be able to mobilize on early and move.
So the stable ankle fractures that we might see, like a Weber A,
yes,
they would be amenable for a moon boot initially with...
Or a cast for a week or two just to allow them to settle down and then to go through a moon boot, which is, after all, a removable device. The thing about a cast is that it forces you to review the patient and it makes you think about what the next step is. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to gradually take away the, if you like, the incarceration of that limb and make it more and more functionally normal.
And when you say mobilizing, you don't just mean walking in the boot. You mean...
Yeah, no, I mean taking the boot off and moving the ankle, but initially passively and as well as actively. It also allows you to provide cryotherapy, to minimize the swelling, and it allows you to review the situation. It also allows a physiotherapist to start doing some anti-inflammatory modalities of treatment. And I'm also a great believer in the use of kinesio taping as a further step down, which is also good anti-inflammatory management, but helps to restore proprioceptive function as well, which is an important component that's often overlooked in recovery and restoration of function following injury.
So for any injury that somebody wears a moon boot, you mentioned sleeping in them earlier. Your advice would be for any of those injuries, they should take the moon boot off at night.
Yeah, look, an option might be, well, I mean, from a purely practical perspective, in the middle of winter time in the Waikato, going to bed in a boot is an awful prospect. You could, for example, take the shell off and sleep if you really wanted to in the liner, or be provided with a double tubular grip or something like that, something similar or something like that, which you could put on to remind you that you have an injury, because that's what it does. But to immobilize in a dirty, filthy, smelly moon boot that you've just mobilized along in is just a horrible prospect, and you have to take that off at some point. So it often surprises me that people do wear them to bed at night, but that's what happens.
So our advice is, when we do put one on, should be to make sure that people know that this is a temporary thing for a short period of time, and that they can and should take it off regularly throughout the day.
Yes.
And at night.
Yes.
And be comfortable in the sedentary position, watching television or sitting at a desk at work.
Absolutely.
And in bed, they should be comfortable taking it off to address the swelling and the other... And in terms of moving, what kind of passive movements are you telling them to do? Do you have a routine that they should be doing?
An option, for example, if the foot is dependent, is to use something like a cushion or a pillow and to gently push into that and allow the rebound from the pillow to allow them to gently bring the foot back up to a neutral position that does involve some active movement. You can use a very light TheraBand to just gently stretch the ankle up and then push down into plantar flexion and bring them up into dorsiflexion again. And I think it's really just that simple ankle movement. Ankles really act. I'm not talking about pronation and supination or that kind of circumduction type movement, which is an artificial compound movement anyway. I'm really talking about not allowing the Achilles particularly to become tight. And because then the ankle is no longer the focus of the discomfort, you get into that retrocalcaneal space pain, that ankle pain that's felt at the back of the ankle where the Achilles joins on, because it becomes tight very rapidly. So it's not allowing the Achilles to become really snagged down. And then it's making sure as well that you, because an ankle injury like that will cause bleeding around the capsule, you don't get that scarring and you don't get those adhesions forming, which are the really hard things to overcome.
And you mentioned Achilles there. One use for a moon boot is sometimes in the Achilles injury that might not be an obvious rupture clinically. Yep. Maybe it's an Achilles strain, and the fear might be it's a partial tear.
Yes.
So pending maybe some form of imaging, ultrasound is the only thing we sadly have access to. So putting somebody in a moon boot with some heel raises,
yes,
is something that I've seen done. Is that a bad idea?
No, I don't think so. I think it's probably quite a good idea. And actually, an ultrasound scan is a very good investigation for an Achilles injury, because it's dynamic and because it will let you look at how the area that's damaged is functioning. The thing about what you describe, however, is that if somebody presents with an Achilles injury, imaging is usually done within a day or two, and that's a very temporary thing. If there is a rupture which hasn't been diagnosed initially, then they will usually be cast after that for a couple of weeks. And then our particular protocol is to use a range of motion boot. And that protocol will last over a 2.5 month period. But the initial period when they come out of the cast still actually uses a splint. Now, some clinics can provide those splints for people with ankle sprains, for example. We just use thermoplastic splints that are molded onto the shape of the leg at a 90 degree angle and then bandaged on. And that's a perfectly acceptable splinting option for somebody who's been in a moon boot for an ankle sprain, for example. But again, you would use that in a temporary way. And we use anteriorly based splints for our Achilles injuries, so that they don't have forced dorsiflexion and cause re-rupture or loss of position. So I think that the use of a temporary moon boot with wedges is a good option. I think that's certainly a good use for them, but it's a very time limited thing.
So this seems to come back to the word temporary.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
And I guess your take-home message would be they're fine in the first instance, but there needs to be follow-up of everybody who's had a moon boot on.
Yeah.
Preferably with the same team that have saw them initially, if you're putting them on. Or
that's a really good point. And I think that the issue that we have with a lot of patients, are particularly with urgent care, is that people move around a lot, and the ability to have a family doctor is a lot less than it used to be. So having the same person look after you every time that you go to a clinic is actually quite hard, whether it's a fracture clinic at the hospital or a clinic at your local walk-in center. They will often be run by different people. Therefore, the use of handouts and information regarding moon boots, I think, for any clinic that prescribes these devices is mandatory. And the rationale behind that is that, because I've said already, I don't believe that they're benign devices. And anybody who's given or put into something which could cause them more harm than it solves should be given advice on how to use that device.
So that's a good idea, a handout given to the patient initially, so that they've got the information to know that this is a temporary thing.
Yep.
And that they're not going to be in it for months.
And that they should be encouraged to read it, and it's not just something that they file away in their notes or what have you. And that they know that the next appointment is as important as their first visit, because then further imaging might be done and the idea of removing that boot and taking it to the next level is also part of that visit. So I think it's a really structured thing. And I think that if you do it that way, the chances of having significant ankle stiffness or foot stiffness or long-term problems, particularly with complex regional pain, where people are diagnosed as CRPS, which maybe they don't have, maybe they've just got a stiff ankle, and will be reduced. And I think that makes our job a lot easier. But it also means that I don't get to see the person who's been waiting for 6 to 8 weeks to be seen by a specialist and has been immobilized for that whole period of time. That's a horrible thing, that actually, the woody ankle that doesn't move. And you know that you're looking in a young person very often with a limb that will never function normally again. That's a very hard thing, especially when the x-rays are normal and the ligaments are all stable.
So temporary means short period of time in terms of weeks, but also temporary during the day, each and every day.
Yes.
There should be a number of hours of that day that they're out of the boot.
I certainly wouldn't be prescriptive in terms of that, but I think that you're right, and you brought that up already, that if they're resting, which often they are because they're not at work and they've got the ideal opportunity to be doing as much as they possibly can, although they may have a busy family life, a lot of these people, that there will be periods during the day where they have to be able to take that boot off, apply some ice to it, move their toes, move their ankle. They don't have to do the circumduction movement, but if at least they're doing dorsiflexion, plantar flexion exercises with a TheraBand or with a belt or any other strapping type device, that it helps to get them moving. An early intervention with a physiotherapist with advice, I think, is also a good idea. Now, that'll cover 90% of ankle injuries. There will be some that fall outside that. But if you use a boot for a week and then you're reviewed, then I think the chances of people ending up with long-term really bad issues from their ankles, which are iatrogenic, is hugely reduced, because these are iatrogenic injuries.
And like you say, the ones who have an unstable ligament injury that you end up fixing down the line, you can fix those.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do that in the first week.
No, but if they're not, but if they arrive to you with the woody ankle and they're all stiff, that's a complication on top of.
Yeah, well, I never have to operate on them.
Yeah,
because they're stiff.
But if they've been kept in the boot because of concern about these other injuries.
Oh yes.
And then you can fix one of them.
Yes,
you can fix
absolutely.
The initial one, but you can't fix.
I can. And actually, as orthopedic surgeons, we enjoy doing that. That's our job, and that's what we come to work for. We do that to try and help people, but for those people who fail non-operative management, we have surgical procedures that we can do, which will help to stabilize really unstable ankles, and that's great. Or people who've got tendon injuries, so long as we can pick them up reasonably early that we can intervene with and repair or reconstruct, then we can deal with those. But the stiff one, the woody hard limb, is just a disaster.
So we should not fear the ankle moving, and we should encourage that. It's not going to harm any orthopedic condition.
I don't think so. And I think the other thing is that as well, the other thing to really point out is that, however, there is an expectation, particularly where we are, but I think that there is a level of expectation that patients who sprain their ankle are going to come out with a moon boot. A bit like when you go to the doctor and you don't come out with a prescription, you feel like you've been shortchanged. That's what I said earlier on. Sometimes it's a harder conversation to have, to spend a little bit more time. And I know that the clinics are busy. I know that it's hard sometimes, and I've been there, and I understand that. But it's sometimes easier in the long term to have a longer conversation on day one and to make the point that this is not something that needs to be immobilized, and that they will be reviewed. And that if they do immobilize it, they could end up with worse problems than they've currently got. That they shouldn't have to walk out, or they shouldn't have to leave clinic or ED or a physio unit with something. They can leave with leaflets and advice, and that's better in the long term than having to leave with the prescription for a cold with some antibiotics. Yeah, that's
I was going
to
say, the antibiotic analogy
it is exactly what it is. Yeah. But to me, that's sloppy. So as a GP, for example, if somebody turns up with a cold and I prescribe them antibiotics, then actually in my heart of hearts, I know that I've done that person A, a disservice, but I've also done the community a disservice, and ultimately will cost that community more than I would have done if I'd actually spent five more minutes explaining why that wasn't necessary and saying to them that they needed this form of treatment, which is much more generic, like paracetamol and hot drinks and rest and not getting involved with other people, than if I just say, oh, here's a script for some ampicillin, off you go.
And in relation to the moon boot, that's obviously the ankle we've been talking about here, but the below that, Darko shoes, orthopedic kind of walking shoes are used.
Yep.
Do they have any issues with stiffness and prolonged use?
No, I don't think they do, not really as much. One of the things that I try to avoid wherever possible is immobilization of the ankle, because the ankle is the bit that gets really stiff, and particularly the Achilles unit, the calf complex Achilles unit, is the bit that gets really stiff quickly, and that's the bit that's hardest to rehabilitate. So if you can maintain ankle movement, for example, the patient can still drive, they can still walk, they can still function, even if it's painful, but you can still do that because you've got that, not necessarily normal, but you've got at least a partial heel toe gait which functions well, and we know that that's the bit that they'll lose quickly. So immobilization in a joint that you need, for example, to ambulate is much harder to recover from. And in the same way, for example, in somebody who's maybe got a knee injury and is put into a stiff-kneed splint without a very good indication for doing it, is not doing that person actually much of a service. And the biggest irony is that often people who've had patella subluxations or dislocations, I'll see getting put into stiff-kneed splints, which puts them into the most vulnerable position in extension when the patella isn't engaged, and again, is not a good idea. So it's a cheap, simple, I think, lazy way of managing an issue without putting them into something which maybe will give them movement, which may be a little uncomfortable, but requires time, but stops them from getting stiff.
Okay, so the principle of movement applies to the knee for bracing as well.
Well, it does, really. It's the biggest issue. I mean, after knee joint replacements, the thing that they complain about most is stiffness, and we have to intervene occasionally. So stiffness is a bad thing. Stiffness is badness, and it's about maintaining movement, which provides function. And function comes from initially restoration of movement, then balance, then strength.
But the Darko shoe isn't associated with the same amount of stiffness of like the first metatarsal.
No, because you get joint, because you'll get some lift, heel lift out in a Darko shoe, so you'll get some movement through the midfoot. It's not as much as it is around the ankle, and that's why sometimes we see people getting put into boots for foot problems, because it immobilizes everything. Darko shoes are quite lying.
So I guess our take home then is that the moon boot should be seen as a prescriptive item.
Yes.
That patients are instructed how to use, and that it's a temporary thing.
Yes.
Both in terms of throughout the day, they should be encouraged to take it off and mobilize, and each individual person should have their own plan described to them by the initial treating clinician, to take the time to go through and explain why, and the follow-up that,
yeah,
and have a strong follow-up in place. It shouldn't be a kind of a panacea, put it on and right, you can walk out and off you go.
I mean, it should be seen as a cast. It should be seen as a cast, because that's what it does. It immobilizes them completely. Even though you can take it off, doesn't mean that they will take it off, because very often the difference between a cast and a boot is that a cast doesn't have that fear factor associated with it. They're fearful to take the boot off in case of a problem. And it's a sort of, and it is a temporary immobilizing device, whereas we all know what a cast is. And we know that when we take the cast off, that there are going to be certain changes, and we'll see those. And then the next step is less immobilizing, and the next one after that is even less. And there is a plan, there is a gradual restoration of function through destabilization of external support.
And it's that dorsiflexion, plantar flexion,
yeah,
that we're encouraging them to do.
Certainly initially,
And it can be gentle initially, but it just has to be maintained so that they don't get that stiff, woody ankle that you can't do anything about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's avoiding stiffness through the Achilles unit, the calf complex. It's a really important part.
Cool. And as a little extra bonus thing there, the straight knee splinters also.
I hate those.
Avoid those.
They're terrible things. Yeah. But there are a range of motion braces available, and they'll provide good support. And again, if you've missed a tibial plateau fracture, if you've missed a, you're unlikely to miss something like a patella avulsion. They're uncommon injuries. The common injuries are meniscal tears, they are ACL tears, they're medial collateral ligament tears, they're patella subluxations or dislocations, and putting them into a stiff-kneed splint will do nothing to establish that function again. Look, if somebody's torn their meniscus, what are we going to do? We'll do a meniscal repair, or we'll do a partial meniscectomy. If they've torn their anterior cruciate ligament, we'll reconstruct those. That's fine, but it doesn't happen on day one. And when the knee is big and fat and swollen, it doesn't help it at all by immobilizing it. That just perpetuates that swelling and stiffness.
So we shouldn't fear movement.
Movement is life.
And the knee.
Movement is life.
Excellent. So I hope that's cleared a few things up for people, and hopefully it's our role in urgent care. There's some general practice involvement too, and certainly physiotherapy. We need to sync well with them. So Lisa and the team of physios out there, we need to be syncing our management with theirs for early mobilization.
Yep.
And but also emergency departments are also utilizing moon boots a little too much as well. And they need to, if any ED guys listening, need to plan some follow-up.
Yeah, it would be nice. And also, if you're going to prescribe somebody a moon boot, remember that you should probably give them advice in a written form that this is a temporary thing, that it isn't going to cure them, and that it's the initial step on their path to recovery, but they mustn't use it all the time or they'll become stiff, and that will be their recovery, will be a stiff, useless limb.
That's fantastic. I really appreciate you sharing your wisdom and expertise on this topic, and I hope the community of urgent care doctors out there heed your warning and you see less stiff, woody ankles as a result of this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Many thanks to Peter for sharing his thoughts and experience on moon boots. My take-home from our chat is to always ensure patients I put in a moon boot are reviewed in a week, if not with my clinic, then with a physiotherapist, and to ensure there is a plan to get them out of the boot as soon as possible. To stress to patients that these are not a long-term treatment, and that they need to be maintaining dorsi and plantar flexion from the outset, and not to sleep in the boot. I will try to find written take-home instructions to give to the patient explaining these points, and I will consider tubi grip, ankle braces, rice, and crutches in the management of sprains before I reach for the boot. If you have any comments, questions, corrections, or suggestions, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow the college @rnzcuc. I would just like to thank Lisa Hansen for having the idea to get Peter on our podcast to discuss moon boots. You can hear Lisa talk about hand injuries in our very first podcast episode, and I am grateful for her continuing to help out our podcast. Now we'll be back in a month with another CME podcast, and next week with another Urgent Bite. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening. The information discussed in this podcast was intended for the ongoing professional development of qualified health professionals and should not be used for self-diagnosis. For any personal medical concerns, please consult your usual doctor.